You're listening to DoorCast, found on every major podcast streaming service, especially Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. The DoorCast is written and produced by your host and yours truly, Liam Door, and is recorded in the heart of Manhattan. And welcome back to the DoorCast. Today's guest is a graphic designer who specializes in interpreting the story of a song, then creates album covers for them based on what she believes the vibe of the song to be. With her company Filtered Image Works, you may recognize some of her other amazing work, specifically the updated cover photo of the DoorCast podcast. Welcome to the show, Mira Jeffrey Craft. Mira, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Liam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for creating the new album art.
Of course. I had a lot of fun doing it, actually. It was my first time doing like a non-related, like music-related type of deal. So it was really fun.
So should I be calling it, I guess, since it's not music, it should be cover art, then not album art?
Yes. I mean, either way, honestly. I'm trying to figure it out still.
Well, you know, it is my wallpaper on my laptop now.
That makes my day. Thank you. Yeah. Very honored.
I'm actually really excited when I finally get the whole like monitor set up. I have one of those really big curved monitors. So It's just going to be my face on that monitor. I'm really, really excited for that.
That's humbling. I like that. When I first saw it on Spotify, I was like, oh my God, this looks so cool. It's got the orange background and everything.
I will say, looking at the photo, like being on Spotify on the app, but then also being on the computer version or just being in my car and driving with Spotify open, seeing my face on it. Obviously I'm the person who is making these podcasts. I'm the one who's uploading them, things like that. But Seeing my actual face and my name associated with it on Spotify, on Apple, it's pretty surreal.
It feels cool, right?
It really does.
It's like, it's very official feeling. I mean, really cool.
You know, like the first photo, you know, season one with the silly Blink-182 yellow shirt and me holding a yellow or like a red Solo cup or whatever. I think that kind of fit like the vibe of what season one was. It was a very like thrown together kind of thing. But now that I'm trying to polish this a little more, the new cover art is just fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, did you make the other cover art for it?
You know, I did, but obviously, I'm not as skilled as you are in the creation sense. So I actually found this website that was called, you know, something like Edit Pix 123, and it's like Pix is like P-I-X. Uh-huh. And I found that photo of a party from junior year of college, and I was like, you know what? Let me use this as the cover art. But then I don't know if you noticed, it's kind of deep fried, and I don't know why it got so deep fried. But you can see almost like, it almost looks like there's like UV on my teeth.
I didn't notice that. It's an interesting look, I do have to say.
Well, I don't know what happened to it in the process. It was a normal photo. And I guess, you know, Edit Pix 123 dot whatever dot gov. It just messed up the pixelation or something. I also had to edit down the pixels so that it was a 1500 by 1500, because that's the only thing that Apple would accept, or that's one of the sizes that Apple would accept. So I guess that messed it up. I don't know. I just threw it together. It took me all of 2 minutes to make those covers. I knew it looked bad too, but
you had to do it. You made it work.
Yeah. You know, I liken it to like those old, what were they called? Oh, if you really liked someone, you'd make them this with all the songs on it.
Yes.
I'll burn you a mixtape. I liken it to old like mixtapes where the cover is just like somebody wrote the names of the song, like drew a picture on this directly on the CD.
Yeah, no, I mean, I obviously like the cover you have now, but at the same time, it was kind of, the other one was, it was very kind of personable, you know? It was like, oh, I kind of just threw this together and, you know? So it had a different vibe to it, but yeah.
Well, I think that's all what season one was about. Season one was asking about, you know, people's lives, their what they would do differently in their younger years. Mm-hmm. But with the maturation of season two, it's definitely more, I'm really liking the grayscale, the professional look to it. And mm-hmm. that's actually why I want to dive deeper into filtered image works. Mm-hmm. So you've created art for The Gorillaz, Ariana Grande, Doja Cat, Kanye West, Drake, and so many more. And in your bio, you talk about how you believe that each song has a vibe. And mm-hmm. you're dealing with a lot of different personalities. So the biggest one for me, obviously, is Kanye, because Kanye is such a personality. How do you discern the vibe of a song based on who the person is? And then how do you go through that process of creating the art for that song?
That is a good question. You know, I mean, for me, the process starts, I mean, I take a lot of influences from kind of how they've marketed themselves and their art, not their art, their albums in the past. So I kind of go back, say I'm doing a Kanye West cover, I go back and I kind of see the, I'm going to use the word vibe again, kind of the, what they've put together in the past. So if they're not using a lot of color or if they're using a certain font. And so I take kind of those key aspects from their original work and I try to put it onto my work. So that's kind of how I figure out the whole vibe for them. It's kind of just going back and looking at what they've already kind of put out and then interpreting the song's message from there and seeing, you know, are they trying to tell a story? And if they are, what is it? And trying to put that into a physical form of an album cover. That's kind of how I approach it in a way.
So like, for example, I am just looking at the, for Doja Cat, Naked Visualizer. Mm-hmm. There are some similarities between your work and the art that was produced by Doja Cat herself, but yours right. has a few very noticeable differences, you know, being live, her kind of drifting through the air, the planets, even the customized potential, or what is it, the customized parental advisory. So how do you go from, I have a idea for something, I want it to fit what the artist has previously done, but I also don't want it to basically be something the same as what an artist already has done. How do you find that line between your own creativity and inspiration without stepping on their toes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I, you know, that's kind of like my golden rule, is I don't want to completely copy the original work. So for Doja Cat specifically, I mean, the whole album is very space oriented. So in, I'm a very kind of visual person. I kind of set up a mental mood board in a sense when I, before I go into creating anything. And so I take aspects of, okay, so I know she's, you know, it's planet her, she's in space. So I need to go and find kind of, a specific image that I think will go really well with what she's wearing, or kind of going back to the original art and looking at, okay, so what are the color hues that they're using here to kind of express what this song is, what the song's message. So it's like I said before, it's very much based on the original album cover work. But then I'm going and I'm finding my own kind of way to kind of tell the same story, but in a different font, if that makes sense, you know, but I don't want to completely copy the original.
Sure. No, I really like that. You know, I actually did send, I sent that to Doja Cat. I DM'd her and sent her the live cover. She unfortunately did not respond.
Damn. You know, I've been trying to get her on the phone as well. I'll have to try again.
But I mean, I have to assume that if you send stuff to celebrities, somebody sees it at least. You know, they probably have their red receipts off, but somebody definitely saw that, right?
Yeah, it's actually, I've done a few where I've tagged them in the story that I post after I create an album cover, and they've like replied or they've liked the cover. And it's like a really cool feeling to have your work kind of validated by the original artist, you know?
Really? That's so cool. Which mm-hmm. which artist?
Do you know Pink Sweats?
Pink Sweats. I do not.
Sings At My Worst. Gonna, you know this one? No?
I wouldn't base my music knowledge off of, I wouldn't use my music knowledge as a template because I'm all over the place.
That's fair. That's like, fair.
When I'm driving and someone has me DJing, I generally within 5 minutes get like, hey, can you play something that wasn't made before the 90s?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That is, I respect that. So yeah, I did Pink Sweats was one guy. Then I did another one for an artist, Zakari. And he actually reposted it on his story. So that gave me some exposure as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool feeling.
Have you ever thought of doing like personalized commissions?
Yeah, I've given that some thought. I had a friend reach out to me. I just did she was releasing a album and she wanted the artwork for it. So she was like, hey, do you think, I'll pay you. Can you whip me up something? And she sent me kind of her mood board as well as the unreleased track. And so I listened to that, I saw her mood board, and I created something for her, and it's now out on all streaming platforms, which was also another cool feeling.
This is Baby Towels, right?
Yes, yes.
I saw that. Congrats.
Thank you. So yeah, that was my first kind of commissioned work.
Aside from the Doorcast, right?
Oh, of course. Yes.
So there is one thing I noticed when I was going through your work, and you started at a certain point experimenting with live covers.
Mm-hmm.
What started that? You know, I think I'm going back to what was it? Dang, Kendrick Lamar, but actually does it go further back?
Yes, actually. So yeah, that's the first cover that I did, like a visual, was for Tame Impala, Miguel. And the reason that I kind of wanted to explore the whole visual animation album cover space was actually Justin Bieber, when he was releasing Justice, his latest album. I don't know if you've heard it, if you're a JB fan, but he had, when he released his music, he was moving in it. The lights were moving all around him. And it seems to be a trend in the industry now when you're going to release work to also release kind of a visual for it. I think a lot of fans kind of like that immersiveness of it. So that's, I kind of wanted to dabble in that a bit.
How does that work? How do you... Obviously, you make the image first, you make the album cover, and then you have to start animating it. How do you go about doing that?
Well, at first, I had no clue how to do that. I went to YouTube, actually, and I was like, okay, how do I start making my images move? And so, it's actually, you can do that on Photoshop as well. And Photoshop is the main platform that I use for creating these album cover arts. But it's a very tedious process. I don't know if you've ever tried making like a GIF before.
Actually, in college, I had to take, what was the class? It was Digital Toolbox. It was required for every communications major. They had to take Digital Toolbox. I took it at 8 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday and Friday, sophomore spring. I learned how to make a GIF, actually.
And how did you enjoy that?
You know, making it for, so our professor was actually really into horses. And so, so she was like a a OG horse lady. She'd wear horse sweaters. She would send us photos of her horses. And she was like, hey, make a GIF of our horses. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool. That's, you know, it's not ideally what I want to do. And so I did, and then I had the GIF template. And so I had the GIF that I had made for class, and I was like, well, now I know how to make GIFs. I need to just do everything wrong and make horrible GIFs.
Right.
So like I made a GIF where the horses were running in the back, and one of my friends was in front of it, and the letters popped up on the screen that were like, I fucking love horses, or, you know, just like silly stuff. Or like I learned how to, you know, those horrible, like they look like they were made on editmypics123.com, photos that you see on like really low budget websites. They're like ads that are like this.
Yeah, they're like pixelated and everything.
Yeah. Or like basically they're like adult video ads, and they say like, this ugly son of a bitch is hooking up with beautiful women, and basically you're an idiot. And I learned how to Photoshop their faces into those ads. And I'd send those around to friends. But I never learned how to do anything actually productive with Photoshop or Lightroom or any of that.
Yeah. So
how painstaking is that process?
It is so painstaking. And I think, I took Digital Toolbox, and so I made those kind of GIFs that we're talking about, and it took to make something move like even an inch takes maybe 2 hours. You know, it's frame by frame that you have to go. And so that's kind of what I had to, it's a big learning curve. You know, I had to, on Photoshop, there are these little dot placements where if you want to make Miguel's hair blow in the wind or something, you have to individually move each kind of pixel essentially to make it move. And so that was, I was like, okay, like I could do this for one of the kind of covers that I was doing, but I don't see how I could keep doing this because it's going to take me forever. So instead I was like, okay, there has to be some kind of app on Apple that can do this process like in a snap. And there was. So now I'm just using that. It's called Pixamotion. And so it, you basically tell it what you want to animate and it does it for you. So that's kind of, I went from, okay, maybe I can, you know, challenge myself with Photoshop, but it just, it takes too long sometimes. So if I don't have that time, then I move to the app version of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that just going, you know, every time you post something new, my first thought is, wow, I don't know how she has the time to do all of that. And then when you even explained to me your commission process a couple weeks back, and I was just like, that's insane. So there must be people like who have to spend hours and hours and hours on these little tweaks, but that's
yeah,
really cool.
No, I mean, it's, I would say the, most of the covers that I do take 4 hours, if not more. And if I want to add the visual, it depends on how I do it. That could take shorter or longer. It really depends on kind of what the artist or the client is asking. But for the most part, it is a kind of a painstaking process, but I it's something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, it must be a good feeling when you finally see the finished product, like not only on your computer, but posted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or when, you know, a friend or a client, you know, is like, hey, I really love this. Like that's the best feeling.
So we've talked about how you've worked on album covers. We've talked about your graphic design. What sparked that? Where did you get that itch to start creating?
See, I love that question because it brings it back around to Digital Toolbox. That I was okay, so you know, I mean, we met at Marist. I started at Marist Communications and then I transferred to Berkeley. The biggest reason I transferred to Berkeley was because of that Digital Toolbox class. You had a lot of artistic liberty with the final, so I chose to create an album cover art. And I mean, I thought it turned out fine. I submitted it and I was like, okay, I got this, I'm gonna get a good grade. But my professor, I don't remember his name and I don't know if you know him, but like, I got a D on the final, not because of like if it was good or bad. It was solely because I submitted it to the wrong place. So he gave me a D. And that infuriated me, you know? And I was like, okay, maybe I need to go, I need to find somewhere where I can artistically express myself and not get a D for just turning it into the wrong place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's absurd. Because I feel like the work should overcompensate for the fact that it was just turned into the wrong assignment slot.
Exactly. And that has kind of fueled my passion. I mean, I've always had a passion for music. And I like creating, but I mean, that really kind of fueled it for me and was one of the reasons why I decided I'm going to make an Instagram page and I'm going to transfer schools, because that was kind of a big slap in the face for me. Yeah, that's kind of how I got my start doing this.
I don't know if this is going to be if this is going to make it better or worse, but I just sent you what my final project was over text. And I'll also preface it by saying that I didn't do the final. My grade was so high in the class from extra credits that I didn't do the final.
Oh my God.
But this was the culmination of all the work I had to do for that class.
I actually really like it though.
I mean, it's the most low budget 2005 Star Wars blog website ever, but I think going on your point, the fact that you created this beautiful art, this beautiful album cover, and got a D for it just because you submitted to the wrong place, but I got an A on this is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of confront him about that and be like, hey man, what was that? But I at that point I was like, you know what, I don't need his validation. Let me just go and do this by myself, you know?
Yeah.
It was just So that was my start. That was Digital Toolbox for me.
If you click on the menu, right, and you go to portfolio and then Photoshop and scroll all the way down, that's the one GIF that inspired me to start making horrible GIFs for my friends.
Oh my God, the horse is here. Oh my God.
Yeah, she assigned just horse projects.
And what is this thing? A fast fish?
Yeah, you had to make a fish go really fast through the clouds.
How long did that take you?
Honestly, I think 45 minutes.
Yeah. See, it takes a while.
Yeah. And she even asked me, she said to me, why is it moving so fast? And I was like, honestly, I just didn't know how to, I didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah, it's really hard to do, with the animation stuff, to go back.
Yeah. And she was just I was like, is this going to be bad for my grade? And she was like, you did the project. So I can't get mad at you.
Oh, I wish I had your teacher. Oh my God.
But I'd argue that if you did, you might end up getting a good mark on that final project, not transferring and not pursuing design.
That's a good point. That is a good point. I think about that sometimes.
I mean, and I don't know if you and Horse Girl Terry, I just remembered her name, it was Terry. I don't know if you and Terry, if that happens, would you be where you are right now? Would I be talking to you about your graphic design career right now?
Probably not, because I wouldn't have been so mad.
What was your original major, though?
At Marist?
Yeah.
It was communications. It was communications, I think, with a minor in advertising, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Was it Gen Com, or was it was it like communications design or communications?
I think it was Gen Com because I had no clue what I wanted to do.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like where I was going to be.
And then you just had one bad experience did that.
Yep. That was that potato in the pot. I was like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
And then Berkeley, that's in California, right?
Actually, it is Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Oh, Berklee of Music. Okay.
Yes. So but, there I studied music business.
Oh, okay. That clears so it up a little bit.
I'm confused.
I was like, yeah, I don't really remember seeing Mira posting from California.
Yeah, and how would I come back and visit all those times?
I don't know.
In Cali.
Right? Well, that's because you missed us that much.
That's true. I did.
Well, you know,
I really did. I loved the people, but just not what I was learning.
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually was talking to someone senior year before everything fell apart, and you came up. And they were like, "Yeah," and they were like, "You know, she transferred, right?" And I was like, "Bullshit! I saw her last week." And they were like, "No, Liam, I'm telling you, she transferred like a year and a half ago." And I was like, "No, I'm telling you, I saw Mira a week ago. This is a weird joke, and I'm waiting for the punchline. It's not funny. I'm telling you, I saw her a week ago."
That is so funny. Oh my God, imagine if that was like, I pulled the biggest prank.
If you actually just stayed at Marist and told people you had transferred?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I got that a lot. Like, people genuinely thought I still went there.
I was one of them, and that conversation ended with me being like, "All right, this was stupid. Your joke wasn't funny. I'm leaving."
I love that. Oh my God.
And then I actually had to like stalk you on social media to find out that I wasn't being, you know, spun a yarn.
That's hilarious. I mean, listen, to give you credit, I was there like almost every other weekend, so I could see why you would think that.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
I'll tell you, it was such a mind-blowing experience.
Oh my God. I feel like I like completely duped everyone that I've ever met there. They literally thought I went there for 2 years after.
But that's a great story though. Everybody's wondering where you are, where you're going to be at graduation in April 2022. You know, when the class of 2020 graduates, going to be like, "Where's Mira?" And I'm going to have to be that one guy who's like, "You know, she left like middle of college, right?"
Should I just like buy a cap and gown and just walk?
You know what? I actually have two. They sent me two. So if you want my size men's XL,
that'd be so fitting.
Done. I will. It's yours. Come to graduation.
I will. I literally will. Diploma and everything.
It'll be, unfortunately, there's going to be a few people who listen to this podcast who know about the prank you're going to be playing. But I think the majority of the Marist body will just think it's any other day.
Right. We'll have to keep it between a select few.
Yes. Well, my viewership is growing, so I don't know.
Ooh, okay. That's good.
I'm telling you, though, it is the cover art. I posted a preview of said cover art that you ended up reposting.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that. And then you reposted that thing about Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. My viewership or listenership, I guess it would be called, jumped in a 1 week period by 98%. So I have to thank you on that one.
Really? Yeah. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's week over week. So it was a 98% boost from the prior week.
Uh-huh.
So like, you know, if there was obviously if it jumped 98%, 100 people listening would, you know, didn't go like 198 or something like that. But yeah, it had a huge jump because of the new cover photo. I'm also even debating making that cover photo my photo on Insta.
Oh my, I feel so honored right now. Wow. See, that's the kind of thing that creatives love to hear, you know?
Yeah. Well, I actually, you know, I have to, you're the creative behind it. I'm just the performer here. That, you know, like, it's like, you know, how there's those really creative people who make lyrics for musicians and then the musicians sing the song. You're kind of like one of the lyric writers and I'm the musician.
You're the face of it.
Is it too arrogant to make that my cover on my social?
No.
No?
Not at all. That's like you, you know? That's like the brand.
All right. Well, I'm inspired. I think I have to do it.
I think you should.
So what else besides graphic design, album covers, what else do you dabble in?
Like just in general?
In the art world? Music?
That's a good question. I mean, this is kind of the main thing that I dabble in. I unfortunately don't play an instrument, and you would think, oh my gosh, she goes to the Berklee College of Music, oh, she can play an instrument, but I genuinely can't. I think the last instrument I played was like the recorder in fourth grade, and so this is kind of how I walk that fine line of like being creative, being in the music kind of world, and at the same time not kind of really fitting that whole mold. So creating these covers is really what I dabble in. That's it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if somebody, like if somebody came up to you, right, and told you that you had an hour to concept for a Drake song, for a Kanye song, do you have things ready? Like when you're listening to a song, and I know someone once explained to me that Kanye actually sees sound, where I would like hear a song and be like, oh, it's a good song. He also hears it and basically sees like different colors from the notes. It's like a really interesting, it was pretty interesting. It was explained to me. But when you hear a song now, because you started this process of creating the album covers, creating the live album covers, does every song you listen to now kind of invoke more of a creative sense? And you're like, oh, this makes this, you know, this song makes me feel like, you know, a 1980 style kitchen, and I could create art off of that. Or this song makes me feel like I'm floating through space and I can do something. Like, can you now listen to a song without the first instinct being my creative sense is telling me that this song means this?
That I honestly, I've always kind of been emotionally connected to the songs that I listen to. That's where I draw a lot of my inspiration from and my energy from when I'm creating something is, can I relate to this song? And so kind of going back to your Kanye example, which actually I didn't know about, which is really cool, but when I listen to a song, I kind of sit there, I close my eyes, and I'm envisioning it playing out in my head. Like, it's kind of like I'm producing the music video in my head. And so I kind of take little bits of that movie that's going on, and I have to go and find these kind of tangible pictures on the internet to recreate what I'm seeing in my head. And I think that's like the hardest part for me when doing this entire process is transferring what I'm seeing in my head onto paper. But in general, when I'm like listening to songs, I think I'm always constantly trying to find the deeper message of it. So I can't, I've never been able to, and I've always wanted to just be able to sit there and enjoy the song, but I'm constantly just like overanalyzing it.
And do you think like long term, the, you know, I know music videos aren't really a huge thing anymore, but do you think long term you would get into production of music videos or things in that ethos, that sphere of influence?
I think that'd be really cool. I mean right now I think, you know, my background is mostly just like the music business, like digital marketing and brand partnerships and stuff like that. But I think that'd be such a cool kind of sector of the industry to get into. So I might think about that.
You know how sometimes psychiatrists play that game with people where they'll say something and the person will have to say the first thing that pops into their head that associates it?
Yes.
So like a psychiatrist will say dog and the person will say growl or something like that?
Yes.
Do you think you could do that with someone naming artists?
So like if someone said Ariana Grande, I'd say like Wings or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I could do that.
You think you could do it rapid fire?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's actually going to be the next segment on the DoorCast right now.
Okay. All right. Let's see if I can do it.
You ready?
Yes.
Billie Eilish.
Dark.
Drake.
Oh my God, this is actually a lot of pressure. For Drake, I would say Owl.
Kanye West.
Crazy.
Doja Cat.
Space.
Eminem.
Spaghetti.
Damn, we're gonna keep going. I respect. Mom's spaghetti, though.
Exactly. Thank you for understanding that. Yes.
Yeah. Justin Bieber.
Innovative.
Party Next Door.
I'm sorry. I'm overthinking this too much. Emotional.
The Weeknd.
Wild.
Who was the last one I wanted to do? She just had a baby. What's her name? She sings that song where it's like she just roasts the guy for like about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. She's from Edison, New Jersey. She literally had a baby like 2 days ago. Hold on.
Do you know a song by her? Maybe I'd know it.
Yes. It's Halsey.
Oh, okay. Halsey. Okay. Mystery.
So we're getting towards the end. But I want to ask, where do you see the music industry going? You know, over the past 20 years, we've gone from the MTV model to the release model, or I guess 30 years, from the MTV model to the release model to the streaming model. Where do you see the future of this industry that you're a part of going?
It's a good question, especially because, you know, this whole pandemic really took a toll, I mean, on every single industry, but especially the music. I think we're seeing right now a huge shift in how artists market their music. You know, we're seeing a lot of brand partnerships. I don't know if you've seen, a lot of artists are kind of partnering with like Peloton and Essential Water, because everyone's at home. Everyone was, you know, exercising. So artists are trying to get really creative now that the income from maybe venues is kind of dwindling, and live shows. So I think we're seeing a huge shift in brand partnerships. Who knows when live concerts are really truly going to come back. So I think we're going to continue to see shows on Fortnite. I don't know. Ariana Grande just did one.
She did.
Did you see it?
I hate the fact that I have to admit this on the podcast, but I'm actually a pretty big Fortnite player. And okay. It's actually been killing me because every time I get killed by an Ariana Grande skin, because she's in the game now. Like, she's literally a playable character.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, she's like straight up. I think you could either buy her or spend like the in-game currency to get her. She is a straight up in-game character that you can play as.
Wow.
And it hurts me every time I'm like, because it shows you who kills you. And I get killed from like someone like, you know, meters away, and it shows an Ariana Grande skin.
Oh my God. So then being like a user of Fortnite, is that something that you see kind of lasting? Like artists kind of coming onto that platform and performing? Is that something you as a user would watch?
Well, you know, it's funny. Actually, junior year of college, we did a report. This team I was on did a report on how Marshmello had done a virtual concert in Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember Travis Scott doing one in, I think, March 2020, right? Or maybe April 2020, right as COVID was like really becoming an issue.
Yep.
And then now Ariana Grande is doing it. I don't think that it's going to become a staple because the idea of logging into a concert,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to feel the music. You have to see all the people around you. You have to have the, you know, like I saw 2 summers ago, I saw the Rolling Stones, right? Mm-hmm. And the ladies next to me and my brother were like 70-year-old old stoner ladies. They had J's wrapped up and rolled inside of an Altoids container. Turned out the seats they were in weren't even theirs. Like, it was a whole experience, and that's just not something you're going to get to see or get if you're, you know, popping a squat, turning your Xbox on, and logging into Fortnite.
Exactly.
You know, I completely agree. Is it cool to dress up dress up as, you know, put your Batman skin on and go to a virtual Ariana Grande concert for 5 minutes? Yeah. But then you have to step back and be like, yo, what the fuck am I doing?
Right.
I'm watching a cartoon version of a real artist perform to a licensed character that my character is dressed as.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one thing about me is, like, I'm super big into, like, DC Comics, so they just released, like, a new Superman skin for the game, and I got it. And I'm just thinking, like, if I actually went to that concert, I would be it would be the in-person equivalent of dressing up as Superman and going to an Ariana Grande concert. Which, in Fortnite world, is completely just a thing. You're like, yeah, that's a Fortnite concert for you. But if you think about actually, like, you know, things that only work on a platform,
mm-hmm.
Fortnite concerts, are they cool? Yes. Would I rather see Ariana Grande or, you know, Travis Scott live? 1,000,000% yes.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think live streams will never replace what you can get, like the feedback you can get from going to an in-person concert. Yeah. But I think for the time being, it's a good solution. It's a way for artists to keep making money, and I guess for the fans to keep staying engaged with their favorite artists, in I guess a safe way, you know?
I liken this back to, do you remember during peak COVID when they were saying, like, you've been pre-selected to go to an exclusive streaming of this artist, just log in here for your exclusive pass? And it was like, it was, you generally, they were free. I just, you know, I finally broke down and went to one, and it was like a small artist, and he's playing his solo guitar in his living room, and, you know, his dog walks by, or you can hear cooking going on in the kitchen. It's like, this is, you know, this is interesting. It's like, years from now, we'll think like, this is what our culture was, but I don't want to watch a guy play acoustic guitar sitting on his couch while his wife is making spaghetti in the other room and his, you know, his dog is barking. It's just, it doesn't really work as a long-term solution. It's a band-aid over a gunshot wound.
Exactly. That's exactly how I would put it. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully things will start to open up again and, you know, we won't have to be, you know, sitting in our rooms watching Ariana Grande, you know, perform in Fortnite. Back onto the topic of like TikTok and everything, you actually popped up on my For You page like yesterday, and I saw that you're like a big Gatsby fan. I am also a Gatsby fan, and so like it's literally the only book that I have on my bookshelf right now, and so I was genuinely curious, have you seen both of the movies, like the original one and then the one with Leonardo DiCaprio?
So funny thing, there's actually three.
There is
a third Secret Gatsby movie. And it was a made-for-TV version where Nick Carraway is played by Paul Rudd.
Where is this? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, so it was, I couldn't tell you why it was made. I couldn't tell you for what channel. But there is, I think it was made in the 90s. Maybe 1999. 2000. It was a 2000 made-for-TV film, The Great Gatsby, with Paul Rudd as Nick Carraway.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And I actually have seen all the versions. It was made for A&E. I have seen all the versions of the movie. And it's actually funny. We have a podcast coming up in this season where myself and another guest get very deep into the philosophy of Gatsby and the American Dream.
Oh, I'll definitely be tuning into that one.
So what's your question? Do I think they're good movies?
Which one did you like more? You know, because I feel like there's a lot of people who are like, really true to the OG one, but then there's some that's like, oh my God, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know?
Well, the first one, I would say the primary issue with it is when I was watching it, I kept waiting for something exciting to happen. It never did. Mm-hmm. It's a victim of its time, really. It's a 70s, I think it's 70s, right? It's a 70s movie that tries to portray some kind of realisticness of those times, but it just makes it really boring because they're using all practical effects. There's really no way to, there was no way back then to create the grandiosity of what The Great Gatsby should be. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, I think that the new one, the 2013 Leo version, is over the top.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, it was just too much. It was too much was going on. And I think that it really took away from kind of the movie aspect. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, there were points watching the movie and I'm just like, why is Empire State of Mind playing right now? Like, yes. this is The Great Gatsby. Why is Jay-Z on the soundtrack? And nothing against Jay-Z, nothing against the music he made for it. In fact, the Great Gatsby-ified versions of those songs are really cool. I think it's the Brian Ferry Orchestra does a really great rendition of all of the songs in that movie to a 20s, like, you know, kind of stomp music, but, mm-hmm. or 20s, you know, jazz or stuff like that. But I kind of, while watching that movie, was just like, is this a movie about something that happened in the Roaring 20s, or is it a concept of the Roaring 20s that is just using that as a backdrop and we're modernizing it? I don't know. I've never watched the 2013 Great Gatsby and stood up afterwards and was like, wow, mm-hmm. that was great. What, you know, and there are movies like that. There are movies for people where they finish it and they're just like, holy shit, that was a fantastic movie. I feel good now. My blood's flowing. The serotonin's pumping. And I don't think I've ever watched any rendition of The Great Gatsby where I've ever had that. And one of the things that this guest and I talk about in this upcoming episode is you can't take it away out of the book. The book is, it was written in a time where the biggest medium was literature. And the second biggest was either stage or, well, like it was stage because TV hadn't become a mainstream thing. So you either could read The Great Gatsby or they could make a stage rendition of it. But it's just one of those things that doesn't really translate to another form of media.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I reread The Great Gatsby book. You know, I could stand up after reading that and like clap. Like I just, there's nothing really that those two movies can give you that the book doesn't. Do you know what I mean?
If you are a fan of Fitzgerald, I would 100% recommend This Side of Paradise.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
It's got some serious Gatsby vibes, but it's pretty interesting. It gives you a main character that for some reason you like, even though you're just completely poised to hate him.
Yeah, those are the best though.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely check that out. Thank you.
So Mira, where can we go to learn more about your work, to see your work?
You can visit my Instagram page. It's Filtered Image Works. And, you know, if you're a musician or you have any need for kind of an album cover, just in general, want to find it interesting, you know, go there, shoot me a DM, and I'd love to work with you.
And I can tell I can say with absolute certainty that the product ends up really great. And if you're doubting that, take a look at the cover of this podcast.
Thank you, Liam.
Of course. All right. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me, Liam.
If you enjoyed that last episode of the Dorkcast, please go and subscribe on whatever streaming platform you're using. We can't make it happen without you. And this will also entitle you to updates on when new episodes arrive on the platform. Thanks so much.